I repeat, we need extraordinary. I'll change the adjective. We need miraculous power from the Holy Spirit. Not only to survive in today's age of crime, and I'll repeat what I said before, crime legislated by one civilized nation after another. It is not just to survive. The purpose of a retreat, I repeat, is not only that we ourselves might remain faithful to Jesus Christ. The purpose of a retreat is to inspire us to share our faith with others, to strengthen the faith of others, to restore faith to those who have apostatized. How we need, dear Lord, how we need extraordinarily courageous bishops, priests, religious, and the lay faithful in our day. And the assurance of the strength we need is that we, already when we were baptized, received, that's what baptism confers, received, as we see at length, the virtues where the Holy Spirit dwelling in our souls conferred on us. Received the virtues, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit. How we need to rely on this superhuman power that we have received already in baptism, and then how important, never before in human history has the sacrament of confirmation been more important than our day. The sacrament, as the Church defines it, of strengthening of the Spirit. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. And the more violent the opposition, the more strategic the persecution, the more we have to be clear in our faith, strong in our hope and charity, I repeat, not only to remain firm, but to share our faith, hope, and charity with everyone whom God puts into our lives. As we all know, the Apostles' Creed is divided into three parts. In honor of and to reveal the work of each of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Part one, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Part two, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, O Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Second person. Then, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and everything that follows in the Apostles' Creed belongs to the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Over the years in teaching theology, I've never tired telling my students, to understand our faith, we must understand the work of the Holy Spirit, who is, not coincidentally, the soul of the mystical body, which is the Church. Now back to the reason why Pope John Paul II identified the present year, 1998, as the year to be specially dedicated to the Holy Spirit, but also specially to enlighten the faithful on both what we have received from the Holy Spirit and our corresponding responsibility to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. As I've said, the purpose of a retreat is not to give a series of theological lectures, which I'd be very happy to do. The purpose of a retreat is indeed to enlighten the retreatants about their faith, so their minds will not just believe, but understand what they believe. However, that's only the basis of a retreat. The purpose of a retreat, as the Church understands it, is to motivate those who make the exercises to use their mind and hear it, to inspire their wills to cooperate with the will of God. Our wills by themselves are blind faculties. Our wills do not think. We therefore need to know with our minds and understand with our intellects both what the Holy Spirit expects of us, but especially what the Holy Spirit expects of each one of you, not just say in the next year, but from the completion of these spiritual exercises until the day you are called into eternity. Beg the Holy Spirit to enlighten your minds, so that then your minds can inform your wills what the Holy Spirit wants you, and by now you must expect, remember, that 4-ply division for making a retreat. Find out from the Holy Spirit what He wants you in the years left you in this world, what He wants you to enjoy, pardon me, and how He wants you to enjoy it. 2 parts. Not enough to know what, but also how. Secondly, find out from the Holy Spirit what He wants you to endure, and how you are to endure it. Am I now? I can't believe it. 51 years and 27 days in the priesthood. I have learned, how much I've learned, an awful lot. One thing I've learned is that our lives here on earth are, of course, meant, according to God's will, to be, part one, enjoyable, but also to be endurable. Not to expect suffering in life is to be living in a dream world. And I think I should say this. And the deeper suffering in our lives are exceptions. But I believe the deeper suffering in our lives comes from people that we most dearly and deeply love. I have had wives over the years call me up from their honeymoon. Father, why didn't somebody tell me? And you married men. God bless you. Whatever doubts you may have had before you married, I trust you don't doubt anymore who has a stronger will. Believe me, you husbands, love your wives dearly. But don't tell them you were told to say this. You must also love them enduringly. During this retreat, find out from the Holy Spirit, beg Him to tell you what He wants you to remove. And I mean remove from your lives. And wives tell me, Father, you've no idea how many hours my husband spends, depending on the wife, watching television. Another wife, my husband spends in reading books. Or my husband spends, he tells me he's got so much work to do. He's early in the morning. I see him late at night. What in the lives the Holy Spirit wants you to remove, no matter what the price may be, get rid of it. Do you hear me? And finally, well, the Holy Spirit wants you to not remove because it is an occasion of sin, but give up, surrender, not because you have to, but because you want to, out of love for Jesus Christ, who, as St. Paul tells us, having joy set before him, chose the cross. And believe me, the cross will be one of the main sub-themes of this retreat. And the cross I never tire telling people is not two pieces of wood. The cross is mainly the divine will crossing our human wills. Let's what we have a free will for, to not just patiently resign ourselves to the will of God, no, to embrace the cross. I'm not quoting from books. I'm quoting from a lifetime experience, especially a half century in the priesthood. Holy Spirit is already ready to give us the graces we need. Graces are replete in superabundance. He is pouring these graces as never before in human history. I'm quoting the Vicar of Christ. But the expectations from us are correspondingly greater than ever before. All of us have in God's will could have been born same date, whatever your birth year is. It could have been B.C. instead of A.D. God chose from all eternity. He chose that we should be born. In this, I keep repeating, the most sin-laden century of human history, to provide us with the strength we need, I keep repeating, not only to survive, but to thrive. Thrive on suffering. Thrive on contradiction. Thrive on persecution. Thrive on the cross. Honest, I'm not quoting. I'm sharing with you a lifetime experience. I'd like to quote this passage again from St. Paul. Says the Apostle, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What a combination. One of the fruits of this retreat is that you might be more free than ever before. And we'll be free to do God's will. And the degree of your generosity in letting go of your will. So much of the world today, I'm quoting Pope John Paul II, is living in slavery. You're only as free as we are open to the will of God. And there was no more imprisoned slavery than being imprisoned by your own will. You don't have to ask anyone what the phrase pro-choice means. To choose what? To choose to do what I want. And that is slavery. In fact, I've even dared to use the expression, hell on earth is doing your own will. I mean it. Talk about widespread enslavement. And how clever of the devil in deceiving people. What a liar, as Christ tells us, the devil is. The retreat is centered on first knowing with our minds what the Holy Spirit wants each one of us to do in the time still left us before the dawn of eternity. And then to beg the Holy Spirit to give us the strength we need to live up to His divine will. And what the price may be, and I assure you, There is no contradiction between pain and joy. We define pain as whatever is contrary to the human will. Provided we surrender, surrender our wills to the will of God, or we'll experience pain. But, believe me, you'll be happy. The only happy people are those who have surrendered their wills to the will of God. In fact, I would dare say the mathematical proportion, the degree of our happiness, is a measure of our surrendering our wills to the will of God. In that is a foretaste of heaven. During this retreat, I would especially recommend that we pray, as I will now, quoting from your morning prayers, the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit, it instruct the hearts of your faithful, grant us by the same Spirit to relish what is right and always to enjoy his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.